Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. It's time to celebrate. It's the 17th of March once again, the day the church remembers St. Patrick. On this particular day, right across the world, Irish are celebrating. And while there may be no shamrocks in Rome, there are plenty of Irish people around. I thought it'd be a good idea to ask them to speak about the figure of this Irish apostle. How to distinguish the man from the myth grown up around him. One of those Irish people in Rome is Emma McCarthy, and a priest she knows who chose to focus precisely on the life and works of St. Patrick for his doctorate in systematic theology. He's Father Billy Swan.
May every hurtless blessing, every pure prayer, every ladder which reaches heaven be of help to me. Every good saint who has suffered on the face of the earth below, every pious disciple who believed in Christ, everyone meek, everyone quiet, everyone sincere, everyone unsullied, every confessor, every soldier who exists beneath the sun.
These two letters especially are one of our best kept secrets.
Entitled The Experience of God in the Life and Legend of St. Patrick, in his work Father Billy Swan has gone back to the source. Two letters penned by the saint sometime in the 5th century as he looked back upon a lifetime devoted to converting the pagan hordes of Ireland to God.
The historical Patrick, or the Patrick that lived and laboured in Ireland sometime in the 5th century, was the author of two letters that we have, thankfully, from our tradition today. One is called a Confessio, which comes from the last sentence in that document, saying, "This is my confession before I die." And he contemplates all the events of his life. The second letter that Patrick wrote is a letter called the Letter to Caroticus, or the Epistola, as it's known in Latin. It's a letter of excommunication that Patrick issues to the soldiers of a certain king called Caroticus, who was responsible for a raid on the Irish coast, during which Patrick's neophytes, or newly baptized Christians, some of them were killed and a lot of them were taken away in slavery, just like he was.
Patrick never chased the snakes out of Ireland, nor do we really know whether he used the shamrock to teach converts about the Trinity. The chronology of his life is very confused. Indeed, we can't even identify for sure when he was born, ordained a bishop, or died. The uncontested, if somewhat unspecific, biographical facts about Patrick all lie in what he tells us in his letters.
I was taken captive. I was then ignorant of the true God, and, along with thousands upon thousands of others, was taken into captivity in Ireland. This occurred according to our merits, for we had pulled back from God. We did not keep his commandments. And we did not listen to our priests, who kept on warning us regarding our salvation.
Patrick was born Patricius, somewhere in Roman Britain, to a relatively wealthy family. He was not religious as a youth, and in fact, he claims to have practically renounced the faith of his family. While in his teens, however, Patrick was kidnapped in a raid and transported to Ireland, where he was enslaved to a local warlord and worked as a shepherd until he escaped 6 years later. He returned home and eventually undertook studies for the priesthood with the intention of returning to Ireland as a missionary to his former captors.
There's a wonderful dynamic. He wasn't on a personal crusade. It wasn't just about himself. There's a wonderful bond there that slowly builds up between himself and the Irish people to whom he preaches and among whom he lives. And he feels himself responsible for these people, like a good shepherd, like the pastor that he was, and that he ties and links his own salvation to those of the Irish people, and he insists constantly that he's motivated out of a love for them. Which is remarkable, because Patrick had every reason never to set foot in Ireland again, and indeed to bear a grudge, to hate the Irish people because of what they had done to him.
Patrick's humility, passion and strength, says Father Swan, really shined through in his confession. For he not only decided unilaterally to do what no man in 400 years of Christian history had done before him, that is, to carry the gospel message to what was then the ends of the earth, a far cry from the plaster of Paris saint we are often presented with each St. Patrick's Day, And according to Father Swan, an inspiration for the priests of modern Ireland, faced with growing secularism and indifference.
In the overall landscape of the Patrick story that we have inherited in our tradition, that for centuries, maybe the image of Patrick that we had in our minds was a very powerful figure, a miracle worker, a very powerful bishop who drove the snakes out of Ireland and who was responsible for the Christianization of Ireland. But all of that story has come from his later legend and cult. When we pick up the two letters that he himself has wrote, the image of Patrick that emerges from those letters is a Christian and a man as a human being who struggles, who suffers, who raises questions about his own identity, who raises questions about his own origins, about his own vocation in life, about his own destiny. Here is a human being that is in many ways like ourselves. And in terms of our challenge today, it's a tall order, but it's not impossible. And what gives me great hope as a young priest is that words that Pope Benedict once said that I'm not sure if he said this as Pope or Cardinal Ratzinger, that he said that Christianity outstrips postmodernity. And I thought that was a wonderful phrase, because sometimes we think of it the other way around, that kind of we live in a post-Christian world, especially in Europe, that kind of Christianity, we've grown out of it or grown beyond it. We don't need it anymore. We don't need God. We have ourselves, and it's within our own capacity to address the problems and the situations of the world. But Patrick reminds us that Christianity surpasses postmodernity, in that I believe firmly that the challenges that postmodernity and these modern times present to us, that the answer to those challenges are found in the gospel, are found in the Christian message and in the message of faith. And that's the hope that we must always hold on to and always look to Christ for him as the answer. We need to go back to those letters, to go back to the story of Patrick, and to be inspired by what we find there. And when we do so, I believe that in this postmodern world and the challenges that face the church and every Christian, that we can be inspired in a very fresh and vigorous way by Patrick's story.
Let us go to the church at Vigo, and as the tide rises, we will gaze upon the ocean.
By the time he wrote the Confession and the letter to Caroticus, Patrick was recognised by both Irish natives and the church hierarchy as the Bishop of Ireland. And so it was that a young Briton named Patricius died an Irishman named Patrick. And neither Ireland nor Christianity was ever quite the same.
So may it never happen to me that my God should separate me from his people, which he has acquired in the outermost parts of the earth. I pray that God may give me the perseverance and deign to grant that I should render him faithful witness until the moment of my passing from this life to the life to come, all for the sake of my God.
Warm thanks there to Emma McCarthy for enlightening us on the figure of St. Patrick, and of course to her guest, Father Billy Swan. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.